This is Lesson 12 of Chronological Bible Storying. In Lesson 11, we took the time to go through the passage from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 12. And what we're going to do now is not repeat that material. We're going to kind of skip over it fairly rapidly. This particular document that you see in front of you now is a document which you can use, you can take out and make copies of if you like. You'll notice that I have used clip art because this is something that's commercially available. However, you can certainly change out some of these clip art pictures with more relevant pictures that you find directly on the internet, and as long as you're not selling them, you can use them as an educational device. Let me walk you through this particular document. You can see where we have gone through here. And I'm going to see if I can figure out how to move. There we go. Just moving down here. Here we see the passage that we've been reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 12. And I'm going to kind of scroll through these. I put them in this kind of a small format, so that, or thin format, I suppose you could say, so that you can put pictures in easily. But you're certainly free to edit this and move it and manipulate the text in any way that would be helpful for you. I know there are a lot of people out there using this who will probably be better at the manipulations of Word files than what I am. Okay. We've gone through these clip art pictures and through to verse 12. I wanted to get down to the questions over this text. One of the questions you can put to your Muslim friends is, how many predictions did the prophet make about the suffering servant? Well, there are quite a number in here. You can go through and count them yourself. But it's an interesting question as you go through the text with your Muslim friend. Then, how many of these seem to be fulfilled in some way in Jesus? Well, of course, all of them are. And that's a good point to make. If you want to even make connections to certain biblical passages where sections of Isaiah 53 are quoted, that is from the New Testament, you can certainly do that. And then I go on to more content questions. What does it mean that he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities? And again, we're coming back to the same point that we made when we were talking about Genesis chapter 3, and that is that forgiveness always involves the one forgiving taking the consequences of the other person's actions upon himself. And that's exactly what God does in Jesus Christ. God in Jesus has authority to forgive us because he has paid the consequences himself. Then, how does his punishment bring us peace? What is the nature of forgiveness? And we've talked about that a little bit. What does it mean that we have all gone astray? Another important point in this passage, which of course is also re-emphasized in the book of Romans chapter 3. What does that mean that we've all gone astray? Now, in Islam, of course, there's no such thing as original sin. Muslims believe that people are only sinners if they sin, but no one is born a sinner. The interesting thing as you go through the scriptures is it clearly puts all mankind under the condemnation of sin. And this is a point made in Isaiah 53 as well as very clearly in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Question 6, explain what the concept of kafara in Arabic or atonement in English means to you. This would be a good question to ask your Muslim friend. What do you think about atonement? What do you think about forgiveness of sins and the meaning of the Qurbani Eid, that is the Eid when they sacrifice animals? What does that mean to you? You might also tell stories about how atonement is enacted in various cultures if you have some interesting personal experience in that way that you'd like to discuss. And I don't seem to... Well, that must be the end of the document. Okay. Well, these are 7 questions that you can use. You can certainly add other questions to that if you'd like. And I trust that the Lord will give you opportunity to use this effectively in the life of your Muslim friend. And as I said earlier, remember to bathe everything that you do in intercessory prayer. Prayer is the foundation of everything that we do. And Muslims will only truly respond to the gospel when we are regularly praying for them that God would open their hearts and minds to know Jesus as the perfect suffering servant. And we will stop there.